Welcome to the Business Trendsetter Podcast, where we talk about trends and how to use them to grow your business. My name is Manny Turan.
And I'm Adam Hartung.
We are Spark Partners. To learn about how to grow your business, go to our website at sparkpartners.com. We produce courses, we coach, and we produce lots of content, including this podcast. We also have something new coming out called Spark on the Street, where we go out and interview entrepreneurs and business leaders out on the street to understand what they're doing to grow their business and get some insights on how that's happening. So please stay tuned for that on our website, as well as our social media channels. So Adam, I'm reminded of a couple of things here in the conversation we had earlier today regarding what it takes to really look beyond the hills, the little hills and valleys, and really build a strategy for growth that goes beyond what might hit you one day or the next, right? I'm reminded of that book again that I mentioned one time about called Endurance, Shackleton's trek across Antarctica and really what it took to make it out alive, right? They had a different situation and they couldn't really worry about the day to day because they had to worry about the long term, how we're going to get off this block of ice. So we are now faced with Facebook recently, or Meta, I should say, Meta plummeted, and a lot of people are scrambling and selling their stock. They're freaking out. What do you think about that situation, Adam, and give us your thoughts?
Well, hey, let's put it this way. Facebook set another record, right? It lost $200 billion of market cap in one day, which was a new record for amount of money that could be destroyed. Shareholder wealth destruction in a single day. Everybody knows that I've been a fan of Facebook as a business. I wrote several articles for Forbes and on my website about the good things that I thought Facebook did in terms of making business decisions. And I've compared it with Google and other companies and said, you know, that they really charted a heck of a good course. So I've been a booster, let's say. By the way, I think everybody should listen to this should understand that Manny and I are not licensed financial professionals. We do not recommend stocks to buy. We are not on this show, and even this one in particular talking about Facebook, we're not talking about, you know, whether or not you should buy Facebook. Everybody should make their own decision. We're more focused on the business decisions they make and how they're likely to play out. And in that regard, you know, I've long said that I thought Facebook was really good, and I wasn't surprised that its value had gone up a lot. But I noticed about 6 weeks ago, it just seemed like you couldn't turn around. Maybe it was 2 months ago. You couldn't turn around without something bad being said about Facebook. And they had a little bit of a stock decline. And I remember I was talking to a group of people and I said, look, then one of them said, you know, Adam, I bought Facebook after you wrote your ebook, Facebook, the Making of a Great Company. And I was very impressed by your ebook. And so I bought the stock. What should I do now? And I said, well, first of all, I didn't tell you to buy the stock, but I'm glad you made a lot of money with it. And I said, you know, the issue I would say is that socially, people are getting pretty angry and full of angst about Facebook. And I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't have a pretty tough 2022 as a company. And I said that likely could be reflected in whatever happens to its stock. Now, that was 8 weeks ago. Anyway, I was talking to this person and I mentioned that to him. So that's what I think we've got to keep in mind. There's the truth of what's happening in the world. There are facts that we can look at. And then there's business decisions that get based on that data. And then there's the outcomes, which are the sales and the earnings and how the company performs. And what we're always looking here on this podcast to do is to take a look at what's going on around us, look at what the data says, and then look at the business decisions that are being made. And say, well, what's the likely outcome going to be? You know, is this company going to grow or not grow? And so that's what I hope we're trying to get across to people today. And there was a couple of key pieces of data in the Q4 2021 financial release that really got people's attention. And one of them was that for the first time ever in the history of Facebook, their daily active user number declined. And it was a very, very small decline. It was 0.05%. I'm going to be referring to my notes here while we talk today. Of the total, they said the Facebook daily active users went from 1.929 million to 1 billion. No, it went to that. That was the result for the fourth quarter. The quarter before was 1,930,000,000. So they lost a million users, which was a decline of 0.05%. So the first thing I'd say is, let's remember the curves that I've always told people and talked about when you have the gap, you know, between how a company performs and does the sales go up or down, right?
Right.
And when the sales have two consecutive quarters of decline, then you have a shock, right? And I say to people, you can't really expect things to go well if you have two consecutive negative quarters. So I think people looked at this decline and they said, oh, it's a quarterly decline in daily active users. Are we at the beginning of one of those tailspins, right?
Right.
And the reality is that I think you should applaud for looking at the underlying statistics of a company, looking at the demand. It's worth looking at that, right? I mean, if you're expanding into a new market, you know, new sales of products, if you're expanding into new geography, then that's important to take a look at. And so in this case, what we're saying is, okay, it's a global company, and globally, the Facebook daily active user number declined. And so is that a portender of horrible news going into the future? But the reality is that the charts and all the data that I've been providing people for the last 15 years around what happens if you hit a growth stall is around net revenues. And so what we want to look at is what happened to revenues. Now, daily active users are an important number, but they're not revenues. And the reality is that revenue went up 20%. They had a 20% revenue increase. It, in fact, beat the forecast, the analyst forecast. So we do not have a growth stall when we're looking at Facebook. Now, they did have earnings per share were 4% below forecast, but earnings per share were up as well. Now, I always like to discount, you can manipulate that by buying shares, which Facebook has done. So we look at total earnings, and again, total earnings went up as well. So there's nothing here in the data that says that there's a growth stall happening yet. We have nothing here that says that. Now, will the decline in daily active users cause the revenue to stall? That's the question that you would want to ask. And that's when I think the analysis starts to get skewed by a lot of people, because what they forget is the reason Facebook changed its name. Remember, we did the whole podcast around that.
We did, absolutely.
And the issue we talked about was that Facebook is really just a platform, and that the company has three platforms, three really well-known platforms. It has Facebook, and it has Instagram, and it has WhatsApp. And
correct.
In this case, what we're seeing is that the Facebook platform had a decline in daily active users. A little more digging, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time on this, but you know, a little more digging, and what I discovered was that Instagram's daily active users went up 6.7%. So I think we all know that Facebook's been around the longest. Facebook has the largest of the platforms. So the fact that they have a decline, the fact that Instagram is continuing to grow is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And the next thing I took a look at was WhatsApp. Now, I'm struggling. I can't really find daily active users for WhatsApp right now. But what I am able to pull up are the number of people that use it. And when you go over to Europe, 80% of people use WhatsApp every day. 80%.
Yeah, it's a huge number outside the U.S. for sure.
Yeah. 72% of people in Europe use Facebook Messenger every day to exchange information. So the use of texting like we do with SMS texting across the phone and using the telephone service like Sprint or Verizon or AT&T, that's an American phenomenon because we get texting for free. Whereas in foreign countries, texting is usually charged. So people, to do it free, they go through WhatsApp. So WhatsApp has continued to grow as well. I took a look at the largest use of the internet. And the number one, still the number one site on the internet still today is Facebook. Even though the Facebook daily active users declined in the fourth quarter, it's still number one. Number two is YouTube. Number three is WhatsApp. And number four is Instagram. So three of the four platforms that dominate the use of the internet are still Meta. Right?
Yep.
We're still sitting there with them in a dominant position. So when I look across this data, what I'm saying is there's not a growth stall here. Okay, and what we're really talking about is this one number, the daily active users. Now, it didn't help that the CFO in the release, in verbal answers to questions and in the discussion, he said that Facebook would, he thought it would, in 2022, grow revenues at 3 to 11%. And I think that really hurt because we're looking at a growth company, right? We're looking at somebody, so back to my revenue comment, which is, yeah, you know, you don't want to get into a growth stall. That's deadly. When Sears went into a growth stall, you know, never came out of it. GE went in a growth stall, never came out of it. You know, they're highly predictive. 93% of the time, you get in a growth stall, you go flat, and then you go negative, and then you disappear down the road. So growth stalls are horrible. But what we're hearing from this, this guy who's often referred to as being sort of a very negative in his talk with the investor community, even he says, look, we're going to grow. So again, no indication that we have a growth stall here. So, and I don't like to use, I like to use statistics when I'm comparing stocks. The one I use the most, I like to use price to sales and price to earnings growth. Those are not easy to get a hold of real quickly, and I often have to go in and calculate on myself. So I'm just going to divert to the one I don't prefer, but we can all use, which is the price earnings multiple. So now what we're talking about is, okay, what's the price earnings multiple of some companies? And so I took a quick look, and so Apple has a PE, a price earnings multiple, of 28.5. Okay? And it's huge. I mean, it's much bigger than Facebook as a company. Right. Then Amazon, it's 48.7. And it's much bigger in terms of revenue than even Apple. Microsoft, which, you know, I've said really good things about lately because of its movement to the software as a services and cloud computing, and now they're really going after gaming in a big way, which I think is really fantastic with the Activision acquisition, PE multiples 32, okay? Google, which announced some great earnings recently and said, look, YouTube is doing really well, and ads were up, you know, terrifically in the last quarter, PE multiples 24.8. Facebook's is 16. Multiple of 16. So let's do some other comparisons. Coca-Cola. What would you think the PE multiple of Coca-Cola would be?
10.
That's 30. 30. It's higher than Apple. Right.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. Okay. IBM.
IBM's got to be in the dumpster 5.
Yeah, because, I mean, what are we talking about? Declining revenues, declining profits. Things have been horrible for a decade. Gina Romney had 24 consecutive negative quarters. They've gone through three CEOs in the last 2 years, and they have a PE multiple of 21.6.
What?
Yeah. Here's another one. John Deere, the tractor company.
Well, I'm not getting good numbers. I'll say 15.
No, I like this. No, it's a matter of opinion. And that's what
I'll say 15 on that one.
You're pretty close, 19.6. In other words, investors are valuing the earnings at John Deere, the growth of earnings at John Deere, higher than they're valuing the growth of earnings at Facebook. I think it's got better prospects than Facebook does. Caterpillar Tractor is 16.9, so it's almost the same, 16.9 versus 16. But let's take another couple here. What do you think about Disney?
Well, they see they've had some ups and some downs. I'm going to say 12.
Okay. So I think it was about 2 years ago we did an episode on Disney, and I was bemoaning the fact. I said, you know, here's this company that got stuck in its amusement parks and all these non-growth businesses wouldn't do well. Well, they replaced the CEO, and the pandemic hit, and the CEO just accelerated the strategy. Apparently, they in the background had a strategy to become less dependent on amusement, the amusement parks, less dependent on traditional movies, and then really get out there with the internet and streaming and that kind of thing. And I didn't know they had it, but they had this in the
Disney
background.
Disney Plus and all that.
Yeah, he shot it. He just went for it. Disney Plus. He goes after it hard. PE multiples 130.
Great, Scott.
Almost three times that of Amazon, right? And like five times the PE multiple of Apple. And then I took a look at, you know, like kind of like Twitter and Snap, which would be social media companies. In some ways, I get compared with Facebook. And the problem was that Facebook has a profit of $40 billion, and these companies lose money. So they don't have a price earnings multiple because there's no earnings. They lose money, right?
Yeah.
So you start taking a look at this, you start saying, wait a minute, should this concern, you know, this number going down, daily active users, should that have warranted this sort of 25%+ decline in the value of the company. And when I'm looking at these statistics, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I think people may have overreacted, because we really want to pay attention to revenues. And you know, then taking a look at it, here's something to think about. Facebook does track and publish its revenue per user. Okay. Now, I think the way they make revenue off me as a user isn't because I give them money, but because they sell ads, right?
Right.
So I as a user track some ads and they get the ad dollars out of it. Well, the revenue per user last quarter, the one that we're all upset about, right? The revenue per user went from $10, I'm going to make sure I got from $10 to $11.57. That's a 16% jump in the revenue per user. Now, the reason I bring that up is because you don't have to grow the number of users if you grow the revenue per user, right?
Correct.
So think about, for example, Apple. Apple is not the leader in terms of the number of cell phones sold. That's Samsung. Apple doesn't even have 50% market share. It's a minority player in the market. But what Apple has is this tremendous platform of apps, right, on which they make money. And so they have people coming, buying the phones and buying their tablets and buying the Macintoshes. And then people are using them, and then they're buying more stuff, right? They're buying the apps. The apps go through the App Store. And, of course, there's some litigation and some argument about how that's going to work out long-term with gaming. But the reality is that the money per user is going up. And that has spawned this enormous increase in the value of Apple during the Tim Cook era, right? The platform was there, and he's figured out how to get more money out of the platform. So do you really need to add as many users as you have in the past, or can you be looking for additional ways to get revenue out of them? And, of course, you can do that through ads. You could do it through games, yep, and selling gaming. And you can, you know, you look for these. And keep in mind that Instagram is now producing something like $20 billion in profit a quarter, I think it is. I'm trying to remember the exact number. But, you know, Instagram's revenues and profits are growing exponentially. Yeah. I mean, they're going really fast. Facebook's looked to have plateaued somewhat. But we really haven't got that much money coming out of WhatsApp yet. Right now, it's still free. And they haven't really monetized that. Manny, it looks like I've lost your signal.
Yeah, just hold on a second. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Just keep on. Don't even talk. Just hold on. Hold your horse. I'll edit this some bitch here.
I'm trying a new setup, so it's okay.
All right. So back again to where we were. What we're saying is that you want to grow revenues. That's what we talk about, is growing revenues. If you manage to get a lot of your platform product out there, then it's how do you increase the revenues on that. So, for example, John Deere can sell a tractor, and then it could sell implements to go with the tractor. And so the tractor is just the starting point for what they could sell to the farmers. Right. And so in Apple's case, we know it's the iPhone and what we can add onto the iPhone. Right. Microsoft is taking the Xbox and is putting gaming on the PCs. And it's, you know, what games can I sell you? And then there's in-game sales. Right. As we talked about before with gaming, you know, you can, in the middle of a game, if you want to know how it works, if you want to get a little advantage, you can spend some money and you get in. Yeah. That's revenue per user. And what we're seeing is that it grew 16% on the Facebook platform last year. So, I'm looking at all these things. These are all positives. But I guess we should take a minute and maybe turn. Oh, the last one before we turn to the negatives is free cash flow is up 36%, right? Which is astonishing. 36%.
Yeah, this conversation kind of reminds me of it's an interesting sort of analogy here. So, I'm a mechanical engineer, and we measure turbulence of fluid flow, right?
Sure.
And so you and I always talk about putting your canoe in the river, and you know that you get this raging river going in one direction, taking you from, you know, from A to B, It's not going in reverse. All of a sudden, it's just taking you down that way. But within the river, there's going to be turbulence. There's rocks, there's logs, there's things underneath the water that causes turbulence. And I think that from a long-term perspective, you got to remember you're in the river. And these little vortices and eddies that occur in little turbulent areas are just bumps in the road. And people have a tendency to latch on to that as they really make their decisions on the long-term play, right? They're making these decisions, oh, you know, the sky is falling, Chicken Little here, and they make decisions based on a very localized thing without looking at the big picture.
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct about that. Using that very analogy, for many years I was an amateur mathematician. I just always liked it. And I remember in the late 1980s when chaos theory came around, right? And one of the benefits of chaos theory was exactly what you were talking about. If you've got a river and it's flowing, the current goes right of the rock or left of the rock. Which way will it go? And it would switch, right, based upon different factors. It might go right for a while, left for a while. And so in hydraulics, this is all really important stuff. If you can predict these things in hydraulics, you won't have blowouts, you won't have pumps go bad. You know, it's important to understand all these pressures and what's causing it. But when we took and looked at it using chaos theory, what we're able to see was that it would map to a pattern of some kind. And these patterns were not easy to see locally, but they were easier to see over time. And we could then map them and we could trace them. And there's a lot of good applications for chaos theory. Then we can now use it to track turbulence in a stock as it's moving up and down, for example. People that are traders, daily traders or weekly traders of stock, will use this kind of math theory. But what the point there is what you said, that don't just look at the short term. Don't look at how the water or the canoe went around the rock right or left in the short term, but rather is it still headed down the river? Is it still in the stream? Is it still in the fast-growing world? And so, do you think social media is going to get smaller? I doubt it. If it would, TikTok wouldn't be out there, right? And in fact, that's one of the things people were bringing up. They said, "Oh my gosh, you know, we know that people are just going to leave Facebook in droves to go to TikTok." And I guess you've got some young people in your house, and you are a user. I'm a user of Facebook. What's your perception of TikTok?
I am not a user of TikTok. I've seen it. My kids use it. I think it does have a future, but I don't think that Facebook necessarily is going to go away anytime soon. And I think that Facebook is doing things that mimic what TikTok does, and the install base is obviously more larger than it is for TikTok. So I think that there is definitely a future for Facebook, although TikTok is going to be creative as well and look for new ways to expand their own business.
See, I see TikTok really pitched up against Instagram as opposed to Facebook.
It's interesting how a lot of these platforms have very, very similar things. They have, like in Instagram, you have Reels, you have Stories, which sort of mimic what TikTok does. I'm actually, and to go to Snap, I don't like Snap very much. I don't know how to navigate it very well. It's just a different sort of tool, right? They all do kind of different things.
So TikTok is less than a third the size of Meta. And again, the reason I think is because it's one platform and it competes with Instagram. And its location of its greatest success is, of course, Asia. It comes out of China. And that's where it has its number one success, is in China. It's got some success in the United States as well. But I keep trying to say, it's this issue of where the revenue is going and how is it growing and that kind of thing. Then we have to look at TikTok and say, TikTok is still a small company compared to Meta at one-third its size, and it only has one-third the platforms. But you mentioned Snap in there. So Meta is a $100 billion revenue company, $100 billion revenue company, okay? What do you think the annual revenues of Snap are?
Couple hundred million.
No, they're $4 billion. But okay, you got the point, which is it's a much, much smaller company.
Much smaller. Yeah.
Much smaller.
And I thought they were reinvesting. Well, I guess revenues, you're talking about top line. So yeah, I can see that.
And then here's another one, I'll let you guess that. Twitter.
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel for sure.
Yeah, five. They're a $5 billion company, right? And Twitter's been around as long as Facebook has, right?
Yeah.
And much longer than Instagram has. And, of course, the previous president showed just how much you could use that platform, right?
Yeah.
In terms of communicating with people. And there are people out there, Kim Kardashian has 285 million followers on Twitter, right? And some, you know, some of these huge numbers. It's a $5 billion company. In other words, these businesses are tiny relative to Meta. You know, 4%, 5%, 20% the size of Meta. So they've got a long way to go to really be a big threat. Now, you know, it's true that, you know, like if you've got a big fixed cost, like in a store, like a grocery store, you don't have to lose much revenue and you're in big, big trouble because you've got these really high fixed costs. You got all the inventory and everything related to it. If your revenues just go down 5 or 10%, you're making a 5% margin, then your profits get wiped out. How many, so Instagram with its, what did I say, it has a couple billion users. I think it was what the number was. Did I jot it down? Anyway, Instagram is very, very large. It's the fourth largest thing on the internet. But guess how many employees are dedicated to the Instagram business, as a business, to manage the business?
Well, I do know that when it started, it was a very small business. It was a handful. It might have been 25 people in the very beginning. I'm going to guess that maybe 300.
You're really close. The number I picked up was 485 today when I was looking around, and they said that the end of the quarter, they believe that 485 folks. Now, think about that. 485 employees for a business that's generating $20 billion of profit. Right? See, so you kind of go, well, okay. Wow, it's Snap and Twitter would have to do a lot to affect the profitability of Instagram. So again, we were talking about what are the negatives. TikTok is what led us down this road, competition. The reality is that if you look at the three platforms that Meta has, they don't have a lot of competition, right? They got individual specific competitors in places, but have those competitors proven that they could generate enough share to affect the business model and change the profitability? And well, so far they haven't even changed the revenue growth. That's the reality. I mean, we're looking at revenue growth year over quarter that's bigger than these companies are.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
So and it kind of, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of brings me to a little bit about our, you know, we talk about our course often because it's a great tool. And I think that companies that are in a growth mindset can really look at their value. Each of these companies you just mentioned, Adam, from Meta to Snap to Twitter, they understand their own value. They understand what they're good at and what they deliver to their customers. And they also understand their competition. And they're not just sitting there on the sidelines. They're jumping in, like what Meta did to do, or I'm sorry, what Facebook did to replicate things that are on the TikTok platform. And they're all kind of doing similar things. So they're not going to just sit on their laurels. These companies are going to push. They're going to move. And our course is going to help people really understand how they're in their own business. They can align better with trends. They can understand their competition. And of course, and most importantly, understand their customers.
So we did a discussion a while back on the change at Meta, and I talked about how I thought that was great because we are going to have this metaverse where you're going to be able to have, you know, an alternative of yourself and that what's in the physical world to be separated from what's in the digital world, and you can have ongoing opportunities to do things in the metaverse that you couldn't do in real life, right? And it's going to grow. It's going to be a big thing. And one of the things that people were jacked up about when it came to Meta was the idea that they put $10 billion into the metaverse, for which they weren't getting much money back right now. When I thought for a minute and I think, can you think of one big company comes to my mind, where a CEO said, you know what, I want to keep investing in the future and the profits will be what the profits are. But I'm not going to focus on profits. I want to focus on being in the right spot with the right products and selling more, and we'll let the profits come out where they may be. And do you have any idea who I'm talking about, who the CEO was, what the company was?
I would say Amazon.
You're right, Amazon. And we talked about it. You know, let people know what you're up to. And so Zuckerberg, the CEO, said, we're going to put this big money into the metaverse. And he dumped $10 billion in. And what happened was the profitability was lower than people expected. But I come back to what I said at that time. It was a good idea. It's a good place to put your money, and you have to make these investments. Yeah. You know, you got to think about the future. You got to focus on trends, like you said. You know, it's like we do with the course. Focus on trends and then put your money there. And, you know, some if the investors don't like it for one quarter and your stock gets whacked, that's just what happens. And, you know, you don't change your strategy. You don't say, oh, I got to quit doing the meta stuff, the metaverse now, because I got to make my investors happy. No, you keep with your strategy. You keep going if your strategy is well-founded on trends. And so that's
what would have happened if Reed Hastings were to have listened to his board and the community at large, right? Of course, he's the CEO of Netflix. And when they were doing the transition from the DVDs delivered to your house to streaming, everybody was saying, what are you doing? You're killing the cash cow.
Right, exactly. And wow, that would have been a huge mistake, right? If he'd have gone into e-commerce against Amazon instead of going down the road of delivering entertainment, it would have been a disaster for him. So he kept his strategy, and we have seen huge volatility in Netflix. Just in the last year, it's lost, you know, went all the way up to almost 700, and now it's back to 400, right? So there's this whipsaw, and it's, that happens with Netflix because people, the investors and the traders forget. They forget the strategy. They forget where people are going. You know, Netflix is going after gaming. Gaming's the next big thing. They've got you in streaming. They got you with the content. Now they're going to go after gaming, and people forget. And they like, you know, like, and then they forget that strategy. And then
they get stuck in the little eddies and vortices, right? They get stuck in the turbulence.
You know, but you can see that there were a lot of people probably looking for an excuse to get out of Facebook stock. Let's think about the last 6 months, right? You got Elizabeth Warren. And this U.S. senator, she's saying, oh, we've got to bust all these tech companies up. We've got to bust them up into pieces. Well, maybe this put a little bit of salt in her, and she can start to understand it. If this was really a true monopoly, then it would not have reacted this way to you know, a quick one data point quarterly return. If you're a monopoly, you don't get whacked like this. So clearly that monopolistic thought. But hey, there's a lot of news about it. And then you could probably recall there was the former employee who went on Capitol Hill and said Zuckerberg's a horrible guy and these are horrible people and they put misinformation out there for everyone and there's not really much effort made to try to protect us from the infidels and the misinformers of the world that are on Facebook. So, you know, you got that in the news every day. And it was a lot of news that the employee was not only in America but went to the UK and did the same sort of thing, right? So, and then we had the whole, you know, report that came out that internally Facebook had done an analysis, or Meta done an analysis, and said that girls under the age of 18 had body perceptual problems, and it was hurting their self-image to be on Instagram. And that Instagram was just really, really bad for teenagers to be using. So this is the popular press, right? And these little individual things, you kind of hear them again and again and again, and you can start saying, wow. You know, I probably ought to get out of this. You know, it looks like there's just a mounting evidence of a company here that's in big trouble. But that's wrong. It's looking at the wrong information. That's not a trend. Those are just vocal people with a voice that can say something, but they're not trends. And users and how users use the use your product, that's the trend. You want to see what's going on. And the biggest number I hope people can remember from this one today is that in the last year, revenue per user at Meta went from $10 to $11.57. That's a 16% increase per user. So you've got the opportunity to grow users, but the opportunity to grow revenue per users. And then you've got Instagram, which is a high growth platform with revenue opportunities. And you've got WhatsApp, which has a whole bunch of revenue opportunities because it does almost no revenue today. But it's all based on trends. And therefore, I'm still bullish on the company. I'm still bullish that it'll be successful. And, you know, I'm not betting against them. I'm betting that they will be a big player in the metaverse and future gaming. And I think they'll do well because I do believe that the leadership really thinks about trends and really thinks about where the market's headed. And that's what we're trying to get everybody to do.
Very well said, Adam. Very well said. Appreciate the opportunity here to chat. And for those listeners and viewers out there, look at the long-term play. Don't get stuck in the vortices and the eddies. Stay on the river of success and opportunity, and you know, look forward, not backwards, right?
Absolutely, Manny.
All right, take care of yourself, Adam. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Cheers.